It's Tuesday, December 13th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. This is show number 124. Strap in, folks. Here it comes.
Podcasting to the world from the islands where the tech winds blow. It's Geek News Central with Todd Cochran. Geek News Central with the latest news from the podcasting universe and the world of tech. Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Now, from Honolulu, Hawaii, Geek News Central with Todd Cochran. Sponsored by GoDaddy.com.
Aloha, folks, and welcome to the Geek News Central. And for all of our long-term subscribers, thank you. Thank you for staying subscribed and being part of our ohana, being part of our family here. And to all of you that are new and checking out the show for the very first time, hey, we're glad that you found us, and make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there, including all of the archive podcasts, and our mailing list is back up in action since our server moved, so you can now click on the podcast newsletter link again and sign up for the newsletter. So we want to thank all of you, of course, for checking out the show. Hey, it was a fun weekend for me. And I'm sure that it was a good day back to work. Typical, you know, everything's in the holidays. It's like everyone's mood changes. The pace of work is different. It's like, you know, it's kind of like people get lazy. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like these 2 weeks preceding Christmas and then the 2 weeks after, and you know, to in middle of January, things are really, really slowed down, and everyone's in a holiday mood and lots of parties going on. And it's I'm sure it's no different in your neck of the woods than it is here. But this weekend we had business that we actually took care of. We did the sixth roundtable where we discussed gadgets, tools, tips, and had a pretty good turnout, and the audio portion of that is up on techpodcast.com. You can check that out. And I actually talked about some of the products that manufacturers have been sending me that I reviewed. We're actually going to talk about a couple of those today. So a disclaimer right up front that I have received these products to review with no promise, of course, of a positive or negative review. So I'll let you guys make your judgments as well on them. But a couple of products is Neuros MPEG-4 Recorder 2. This thing is, I'm holding it in my hands right now. It's about the size of a PDA. Totally awesome. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little later. Hey, also, just to give you a little update on the Podcaster News Network, we're really, really expanding over there, getting a lot of new podcasters that are coming and creating content. And I'm really excited about some of the new shows today. Launched our first, what I would classify our international podcast. It's the Zimbabwe News Update. Yeah, check that out. We got a podcast that is going to be being produced down in South Africa. So Zimbabwe News Update. And it's probably going to be a weekly feature, and look forward to checking that out. So if you're listening to the show and you're in another country, and you're thinking about, hey, I'd like to be able to be a category or manager for a country, hey, drop me a line, the CEO at robvoice.com, and we'll get you hooked up. But the second show that I'm really impressed with that started was by Paul, and I hope I don't pronounce his name incorrectly at the beginning, Berlinger maybe. It's called The Road Warrior's Guard to... The Road Warrior's Guide to the Planet, and he is a pilot. So he's going to be taking us all over the place and talking about cool tips. And, you know, a couple of the other shows up there is the Fastest 5 Minutes in Golf. And one of the shows that I really love on the site is called Entertainment as I See It by PD Love. So you guys want to make sure you get over to podcasternews.com, adding lots of stuff on there. All the shows are doing great. I'm real happy about it. And we're going to be just continuing to build out the network. We're going to keep adding podcasters. We've got a whole bunch that we're still working, getting their shows set up and getting their branding. And we've got, I just, you know, every once in a while you're on fire, your brain's really on fire. And I came up with, oh gosh, I don't know, it was instant messaging Javon, who's our CFO. And I was basically saying, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this, let's do that. And he's like, slow down, dude. I can't write these things down fast enough. So we've got a bunch of cool features that are coming to the engine over there. And that engine, man, it is, I'm really stoked about what we've created. And we're going to be coming up with a second site that's going to be featuring, well, we'll have to wait until that comes out. But hey, we are going to be making, I came up with, I've been working for several months on a plan. And believe it or not, it kind of came together. You know how you think about something for a long time and you just, how am I going to make this work? How's it going to be acceptable? You know, you do all this thinking through and you try to go on the perspective. It's got to be, something's got to be fair. It's got to be equitable. It's got to be something that's not going to, you know, there's all kinds of things that you go through in making a plan for a program. And it's a program that I've been thinking about launching and in conjunction with Raw Voice. And so I'm in the shower this morning. I'm shampooing my hair. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, dude. So I kind of came to a conclusion this morning of what needed to be done. I immediately sat down as I'm basically dripping wet in a towel, and dangerous thing to do around a computer. But I got on the keyboard. And I made myself like five or six real quick talking points, and immediately sent a message out to the team and said, "We need to talk tonight immediately." And I give you an idea. And so ran those by the team, and everybody's like, "Oh, that's rocks, dude!" So everyone's real excited. But can't say no darn announcements. And I've got to get it all framed up. But the idea has finally come together, and I'm pretty excited about what we're going to be doing there and some new offerings. So I kind of sent an email out to some of the podcasters tonight saying, hey, maybe next week we'll talk about a little bit. They're all under NDA, so I can tell them and that they can keep a secret. But hey, I would like some participation from you all, folks. It's we haven't I've done a I did a survey back in April, I guess back in April, asking you for your opinions on the show, and I've teamed up with the folks over at Podtrac, and I would like to have you all go through and do a survey for me. And the survey link will be in the show notes. It'll go out on the newsletter. It's going to be on the website, and I'm going to be pimping this for the next couple of months. But is the more people we can get to knock this out in a hurry, the better. You know, if I could get 1,000 of you to go and knock and drop, you know, take 5 minutes and do the survey, I would be most appreciated. It would be kind of like a early Christmas present to me for you to do that. Be honest, you know, leave your comments about the show, what you like, what you dislike. If you don't like certain aspects, write that stuff all down. It's anonymous. You're not, it's not going to be tracked back to you at all. And as always, I know you all send me great comments via the net all the time on changes we make the show and things that we do here. But this is kind of an important deal for me. So if you can, it's a more important than actually voting at Podcast Alley. This is probably the one thing that I will do like every 6 months or so that is critical for the show development here. So please go and do the survey for me. And I would just, thank you in advance. You know, being part of our family here, we all can be straight up and honest with one another. And you know, you guys are gonna tell me what you think, and I respect that. Okay, you know what? It's kind of funny. I do a lot of Technorati searches, PubSub, different engines, Ice Rocket, to determine some of the things that are being said about the blog. But I've noticed a site that, is doing everything in his power to drive his search engine rank above mine. I've just been watching. He must have looked at my website, looked at all the keywords, because I see all these articles, one after the other, being put out where he's strategically placing Geek Central News, podcast, all these different things to try to really work the system with Google. You know, it's cool. And he's gonna have to work hard, because I think there's 5,500 articles or something like that on Geek News Central. So it's a form of flattery. I do appreciate it, but it is kind of, And like, well, what, you know, go out and build your own brand, buddy. You know, it's to develop your own thing. Don't just try to copy what we're doing. But that being said, anyone that links to us, I do appreciate that. If you carry us in your blog role, that is greatly appreciated. Talking about the podcast, matter of fact, we're going to talk about a guy was made some very humbling comments on his website a few days ago, and I tell you what, you all just absolutely floor me, and I can't really, I just can't say that enough, because I think the relationship that I have with you is that we come from an open perspective. We talk about things, and you share with me your ideas via email, via voicemail, etc. And it's, I think we've all got a pretty good trust build up. And so I appreciate comments. And when someone says something flattering, you know, it's not necessarily makes, it wouldn't, you know, it make the mortal man's head explode. And I am very proud of some of those comments. But at the same time, it's very humbling. And it's been an amazing year. It really, really is. And it's a very, I have a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful that you're all here listening to us. So, you know, I'm going to save some of this for our end of the year wrap up show, but you all really make this thing happen. You really, really do. And thanks for being with us. I say from sincerely from the bottom of my heart, thanks for being part of the Ohana and part of the family. Okay, hey, iTunes has got a, they've just somehow, they put it up, their category subdirectories are in there again, but it looks like the folks that were doing the pod keyword stuff have removed the geeknews.podkeyword.com listing. So I've already gotten about 100 emails from people saying, hey, where's your show? Where's your show? And I'm like, what do you mean? It hasn't went anywhere. So, well, it disappeared from iTunes. Well, apparently, sadly, I had one of those listings in, I didn't realize it until a couple weeks ago, but some of you probably, well, you don't know it if you didn't get the show because you can't hear it, but hopefully everyone, I've told it enough that make sure you only use the links that are on the website to subscribe to the show. Those are going to guarantee you unfettered access to the podcast. Well, this weekend took the kids out to see Harry Potter. I had a great movie. Matter of fact, I've got a two-year-old. Well, officially today he is two, so I got a little birthday party to do tonight for my youngin', but he decided during the movie, you know, these two-year-olds, they develop a mind of their own, and he hasn't turned into the terrible two yet, but we're really on the borderline. He's doing, going through some of this, his personality's really peaking out. So, of course, you know, I've got my kids, you know, in three seats, and the wife and I, and he decides, oh no, I don't want to sit in the chair. We're sitting on the end row, and we're almost at the top of the theater. He says, I want to sit on the step, you know, the stair step. So, you know, you, two-year-old in a movie, you guys, those of you that have kids have been down this road. So I let him go. I let him sit there for about a minute. So I said, okay, you know, he's had his fun. It's time to reel him in. So I was giving him the little, okay, you need to come over here. And he's giving me the no way type look. And so we had to make a trip out of the theater into the bathroom to have a grown-up to two-year-old discussion. You guys know how that goes. But needless to say, he shaped up, couldn't believe it, sat through the whole movie, didn't get too scared, even though some of the scary parts, and he did good. So we've had a, I just love my kids to death, so I was pretty proud that he made it through the movie. So I didn't upset the other patrons, that is the key. Oh, on a side note, if any of you have experience, we use the newsletter that's sent out is used, what is the actual name of this application? And I'm spending some stuff time here. I got a lot of news to go through tonight, and I'm probably going to run long like usual. But I use One to All. It is a email software application. It's by Active Campaign. If any of you have any experience with skinning one of these, their templates, let me know. I could use some help on that, and I'd be willing to pay someone to develop a simple skin, something that'll work across all email clients. So drop me a line, geeknews@gmail.com. If you do that kind of stuff, I'd be very appreciative. Okay, as always, we want to save you money, and the way you do that is by visiting our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. So you want to see why GoDaddy.com is the number one domain register worldwide? .com domain names are just $8.95 a year. act now with your .com, you'll get complete email, total DNS control, and much more, all for just $8.95 a year. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, you enter the code TODD, Todd, when you check out and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Thanks, GoDaddy, for being a sponsor. And, of course, over at Tech Podcast, like I said, we did the roundtable, and that was sponsored by GoToMeeting. And, as always, announcement on GoToMeeting.
By now, you've probably heard that the Tech Podcast Network uses GoToMeeting to conduct online business meetings and training. But did you know that GoToMeeting is the easiest way for any organization to conduct online business meetings? I asked Adrian Bacon of Apple Newslog, Linux Newslog, and Microsoft Newslog what he liked best about GoToMeeting.
I like the way you can record the entire presentation, audio, and video.
Sound too good to be true? Try GoToMeeting free for yourself for 30 days. You don't need a credit card. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/techroundtable or click on the GoToMeeting link on your host's website.
And for those of you that want to check it out, how really cool it is, we'll have the video recording up in another day or so. I've dropped that onto one of the long-term, actually on the Internet Archive, waiting for it to show up there so that we can put the link up in the show notes on Tech Podcast. But it's a full video review of the roundtable, and I think you guys will get a kick out of the presentation if you haven't viewed it before. Okay, in the world of tech this week, we're off to a fiery start. I've got all kinds of stuff. Over on Ace Adulzer's website, he linked, and this is a pretty cool plugin for bloggers, or actually, it's an extension, excuse me. It's called Xana, X-I-N-H-A, Xana here. It's a wrapper for an HTML editor that enables what you see is what you get editing in any HTML text area and text input element. So I've never been a big fan of these type of editors before, but I downloaded this thing and checked it out. And I was like, oh, cool. So it's going to be added as a permanent addition to my extension listings. You know, the sound here tonight sounds a little crisp. I wonder if my son, I'm looking at the control panel, doesn't look like anything's changed, but for some reason the audio is sounding a little crisp tonight. I have to take a look at that tomorrow. Okay, I just wonder, have you guys heard, and I found this on a venture capitalist website, it's actually his Delicious feed, and this is it's called allmydata.com, and it's unlimited free storage. Check here. Well, it's basically off the website. This is a peer-to-peer file storage thing. And what they do, and let me read the storage plans for you. This is what's really cool. For every 10 megabits you share, you get 1 megabyte of space on All My Data. Example, you share 10 gigabyte on your hard drive, and you get access to 1 gigabyte on All My Data. You can see you can get as much storage as you want. And then they have some paid plans where you can do, if you pay $2.99 a month, you get, if you donate 5 gigs of storage. And so what they're doing is they're using all kinds of people's storage all over the place, and they're essentially allow people to upload, download into your machine, so your data gets stored off someplace. Do you really want someone else's data on your computer? Sure, it's cool to have offsite storage, but I don't know if I want to have my photos, documents, sitting. I'm sure it's encrypted, but I'm sure we'll have to keep an eye on this, okay? And if I could get it to share between two known computers, this would be a cool thing to really test. It really would, but I'm not just going to stick any data up on this. But anyway, interesting concept in a sense. P2P storage, so allmydata.com. Okay, there's an article in the Kansas City Star, and for those of you that are into science, there's this guy that has got this contraption, and it's about the size of, it looks like about the size of a king size bed. It's actually a magnetic, it's a metal detector that he pulls behind a little all terrain vehicle. And this guy scored out in Kansas, down in Meteorite Alley. He scored one of the largest meteorites that's been found in a long time, and they say it's going to be worth like $3 million on the open market. But what I found interesting is this guy's basically signing rights deals, and he's just driving across thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of farmers' fields looking for meteorites. And he's netting them, I guess, here. So pretty cool article. And a little science in here, too, talks about how Kansas became the kind of like a good meteorite corridor. So anyway, check that out. Be a link up in the show notes. There is a, it's kind of a, I'm confused a little bit about the article in that there is a guy that's saying that the Google Gmail has a flaw in that. Have you guys ever had someone use your email address falsely to spam something and you get, you know, 50, 100, 1,000, 25,000 emails back saying, why did you send a spam? And it really didn't originate from you, but they just used your email address. I've had it happen a few times. But apparently a guy has this issue with Gmail, and it's, it hasn't tapered off. That usually has a big flood in the beginning, excuse me, and then tapers off over time. And he's had this problem going on for a while now, so he has not had any resolution from Gmail now, or from Google. So if any of you have run into this, why don't you drop me a line? I'd like to add some comments to his blog. We'll see if we can find out what's going on here to get Google to get this shut down. All right, how many of you have bought a USB stick and dropped it in your pants pockets and left it in there and had your wife wash them? Every one of my USB storage sticks have been washed at least a dozen times. My wife has this running policy in the house. You know, you forget to take it out of your pockets when you get undressed. You know, she's too busy to go through every pocket. Who wants to be reaching, you know? I don't blame her. And, but she does say if I leave any money in there, then she's finder's keepers. The money goes into her little slush fund. So, you know, I try to be careful not to leave extra cash in my pocket. But they've got a USB flash drive card that is actually now the size of just a little thicker than a credit card. So for those of you gentlemen out there that don't have one of these things on your key ring and want a up to 2 gigabyte USB flash drive, and it'll fit in your wallet as a credit card. I'm yawning here. Case of the eternal yawns. I don't know why. I got some iced tea. I had a Red Bull earlier, so I shouldn't be. Should be fired up. Obviously, I'm not getting enough sleep. But anyway, this is a cool USB stick, and I think as many as I've watched, luckily they've all worked. I may have to check it out, but the prices start at $29. This was via Engadget. I'd like you all to put your thinking caps on for a minute. CNN ran a poll, and the question was, what of the following developments is the most significant in the Internet's history? And they go through and ask some basic questions: Google, Hotmail, .com, Boomer Bust, 9/11, and the rise of citizen journalism, the Monica Lewinsky scandal, Napster being shut down, Live 8 on AOL, I don't even remember that, Skype, webcams and photo sharing, Wi-Fi hotspots. So what do you think was the number one thing? Well, obviously Google came out huge with like 2257, and then followed by the .com boomer bust and the 9/11 event. So total of 6,000 people that responded. So you know what I'd like to do a little internal survey and ask you all, because you're all techies and you've been dialed into the internet for a while, what do you think is the most, which of the following developments or which development is the most significant in the internet's history? Do you think it's blogging, podcasting? Do you think it's the Google search engine? Just, you know, you don't have to answer. You just tell me which one you think it is. And if you have something else, that's cool. I'd like to kind of get an informal survey from you all. We'll see what you guys come up with and see how it compares to the CNN poll. But geeknews@gmail.com, you can just put survey on the subject line and I'll tally those all up. Okay, so I know a lot of you are big fans of Windows Messenger. There's going to be a beta that's going to be released tomorrow, or actually today. It's going to be the Windows Live Messenger beta, and so beta testers are slated to get the first Windows Live Messenger beta bits on Tuesday. Those of you that are able to or are on the beta access list for that, look forward to hearing your feedback and what you think about it. And looking forward to the folks at Trillian making sure that it continues to work with it. All right, how many of you, I actually wrote an article up, and let me switch back to my website because this corresponds to an article I found on my website today. I received a DVD in the mail by a company called Magix, magix.com, and this was, I agreed to do a product review on this DVD. What it is a DVD that contains sound loops. Now, you all know that I've got a big ban on buying any Sony products, and they're really famous for releasing all kinds of great loop CDs. And but they're relatively expensive, in the range of hundreds of dollars per disc. So I was out looking for some new loops because I wanted to be able to do some stuff internally, and I found this product from Magix, and it's basically, it's got like 1,100, let me look at the case here. It's got a total of 1,120 WAV files on it with different loops from drums, bass, keys, strings, guitars, vocals, ambient, big beat, easy listening, electro, disco, soundtrack, hip-hop, rock, techno, and special effects. I listened to this disc. I listened to about 300 of the tracks. Just kept boom, 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 going through them. Great value. $29, okay? $29. You know how much you'd pay for a Sony CD? Well, this is a Magix DVD. You can find it at magix.com. Link is up on the blog where the I reviewed the product. Talks a little bit more about it. But they've got another product out too, same price, but $29, cannot go wrong on this. Now, I have always looked for stuff on the internet before, looked for WAV files and that kind of stuff. And lo and behold, there's an article today on O'ReillyNet.com, that is basically saying, hey, are you worried about having to pay BMI? And oh, these loops on this disc are royalty free. So this is exactly what they're talking about on this O'Reilly article where they say, are you worried about having to pay BMI or ASCAP fees if they use music in a podcast or video? He found a site that's called uniquetracks.com. It provides pay once, use many, royalty-free music. Their website is very searchable, and if you want rainy music or happy time or anything like that, you can find all kinds of cool tracks on there. Now, you just pay per the download. I don't know what the pricing is, but they do have CDs, and I haven't priced them to see what they are, but they're in themes. So I think I'll have to take a look over there at what they've got. But again, the alternative on the product I reviewed was Magix.com. Again, they provided the disc, but I'm pretty happy with it. So thumbs up for me. Okay, if all of you realize, or most of you should know, maybe you don't. That's kind of a bad assumption on my part. I've never been a big Atom syndication format fan, but now they have gotten the format has been approved. It's actually got a standard now, RFC 4287. So for those of you that are not up to speed on Atom, there's a pretty good, a nice little write-up, some basics on it. And of course, then there's a link to a good O'Reilly book called RSS and Atom. And I do have this book. This is a pretty good book. It's by Ben Hammersley. So if you want to get up to speed a little more on RSS and Atom, that'd probably be a great place to start. But, you know, Atom has some advantages, but it's not, you know, I think this has basically been the year of the Real Simple Syndication or RSS, especially the 2.0 standard. But those that are Atom fans will probably, it's just like a Mac Windows fight. They, you know, they go head to head quite often, and regardless it's been formalized, so congratulations to the team on that, and I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot more about Atom in the future. All right, there's a great article over on Wired. It's called The Firefox Hacks You Must Have, and it's essentially a list of some real cool extensions that I have not been familiar with before. One of them is AdBlock. I had heard about that. It's real popular. It's been downloaded a lot. There's one that's kind of cool. It's called Nuke Anything Enhanced. So let's say you want to print a web page, you can go through and just right-click on an element, and it'll basically explode it so it won't be seen for printing. TabMix Plus is one. What else? We've got just a huge bunch here. Session Savers, StumbleUpon, all kinds of great stuff. So I'll link this up in the show notes, and these are some extensions you may not be aware of that you want to check out and add to your installation. I know there's a few on this list that I'm going to add. Okay, I was kind of surprised today to see an announcement that Yahoo is going to be offering Mobile Type for Bloggers on their professional hosting network. And this is one of the biggest deals that Six Apart has made in a while. And Yahoo is going to be effectively act as a preferred provider for Mobile Type for small business users, taking advantage of some of the enhancements they've made to it. So it'll run. It's going to run really well on the Yahoo hosting services. So good to see that this went down. Congratulations to the Six Apart team. So that with their partnership with Yahoo, I just wish they would get a little bit busier on some of their plugin development. The folks over at WordPress are kicking them in the tail because I see a lot more plugins coming out for WordPress these days than I do Mobile Type, which disturbs me quite a bit. But anyway, enough on that. There is a, I'm sure you've all heard about this. Bill Gates is talking, he's thinking that there is excess profits in search, and he suggests that users should be paid for searching. Now, you know, that reminds me of like some stuff that was done like 10 years ago where you had to click on banner ads and they, you know, it was kind of like a pay-to-click type thing. And it just sounds like it would just be open to all kinds of fraud. I'm sure there's lots of new technologies out there that'll make it better, but it just doesn't smell good to me. But we'll see what they do. You know, maybe they're going to make it so that you're going to get paid for search. So we'll watch it. We'll see what happens. So, no surprise to all of you, but I'm just going to read one sentence here out of an article off the Register. Music label Sony BMG is to reconsider its approach to copy protection technology following weeks of negative publicity over flaws with its anti-piracy software. Flaws? Boy, they were nice, weren't they? How about spyware and malware that they installed on thousands of people's computers worldwide? Come on, Register. Have some guts. Say it like it is, instead of being nice, being politically correct. But yes, Sony's going to take a look at it because they've had negative publicity. Jeez. Okay, yeah, you can tell my opinions have changed on Sony. Ajax is the one of the hottest things that's going on in net development right now. And, you know, the buzz is just really, it's all about Ajax. And we've seen a lot of Ajax-enabled sites. You do all kinds of cool stuff, move stuff around the websites, exploding windows. You know, it's pretty awesome. And to be honest with you, not being a programmer, not being a web developer, I just kind of take it for granted. Yeah, I think that's cool. I wish I could do it. But there's a book out now. It's called Ajax in Action. Got some great reviews over on regdeveloper.co.uk. And I may just have to pick it up because the reviewer made some very good comments about it. It's broken down into four sections. It has levels of detail that's good. Appears to be good for new guys that are getting exposed to Ajax and those that are already developing. So Ajax in Action, I'll put the link up in the show notes. I'm sure it's available on Amazon. They didn't even put a link. Why didn't they do that? They wrote this article up and they didn't even put a link to Amazon on it. But anyway, it'll be, you guys can find it. Now here's something I found is totally cool. You know, you all watch the James Bond movies where he gets a cassette tape and his mission is announced and they say, okay, this tape will self-destruct in 30 seconds. Well, how about a SMS or text message that's going to, you'll get, and as soon as you open up and read it, it will self-destruct in 40 seconds. Would you guys like to be able to send text messages that you knew without a doubt would be deleted? Now, I'm sure this could be used to, you know, you want to send a text message to your boss or someone and then not have any proof that you sent it. You know, it could be abused, but I could see where it would come in handy in business where you send up something semi-private and you don't want it to be hanging out on somebody's mobile device. So, looks pretty cool. I'll let you guys check out the full article on this, but yes, you'll be able to send a text message that will self-destruct in 40 seconds. All right, I know we have some folks that listen to the show that probably don't want to be classified as seniors. I know that my dad vigorously hates the word senior citizen. He works very hard at his age, and he qualifies to be called a senior. But and I don't know why they do that. We should say our older generation, or our mentors, or our, you know, the ones that with the wise ones. But anyway, they did a symposium in Washington D.C. for senior citizens, and it's basically, it says high tech for seniors, move beyond the clapper. Now, I know we've all seen that clapper advertisement. You know, you just roll your eyes. But if you think about it, it worked great. I know, hey, my grandfather, he's 97 years old. He's got one. He's in bed at night. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He has to get up and use the restroom or something, you know, and it does it. It does the thing. He loves it. So, but obviously, manufacturers have figured out that seniors have some dollars to spend, and they're going to come up with all these cool tech products that's going to help enhance their life and make it easier for them to enjoy technology in their twilight years. So isn't that, gosh, you know what? We all get old, and I tell you what, I am trying to really keep the old, I don't want to, birthdays. I quit having birthdays when I was 18. I just have anniversaries. So, but anyway, kind of cool. It's nice to see that they're thinking about this, and I'm sure we're going to see lots more stuff as the boomers get into retirement age. Okay, there is a article up on Yahoo News that talks about how many people are booking flights online, and I actually did a term paper in one of the classes, college classes I recently took, and it was reviewing online ordering of tickets and price differentials when it comes to, you know, if you pick up the phone and call your major airline and you get a quote price, and then you hang up the phone and immediately go online to the airline's website and put in a price check. And then if you go to a site like Travelocity or one of the other ones, now check this out. And I did an extensive term paper, research paper on this about 3 to 4 months ago. And what I found out was that, for sure, if you call into the airlines, you are just going to pay a premium. You really, really are. It's the only airlines that I found where the price that was quoted on a telephone and the price that was online was the same, was United Airlines. Everyone else was significantly higher. Okay, now I did comparisons on local travel agents who could get the best deals. Local travel agents for long-term planned trips are usually the best way because they are able to get discounts and stuff. But overall, I found that usually going online to the airline's site, I found cheaper deals almost 75% of the time. And I did probably 50 different scenarios, you know, multiple stops, short-term ticket buys. So I think what you can take a little advice here from the geek based upon my research that I did, that generally you can go to the airline's website and get the cheapest price. Second, you go to some of the Travelocity and name your own price and some of those other ones and probably get very close and sometimes beat the deal. So, you know, you do some comparison shopping, but 90% of the time, do not call the airlines to get a quote. If you want just a rough idea on what the scheduling is going to be, sure, call them. But otherwise, don't call the airlines for a ticket, okay? But they do have a little bit of info here. There isn't just some history on how much $1.2 billion being spent a year in online booking. So, hey, I kind of found it kind of unique. I don't know why I didn't end up on this magazine, or on this calendar, actually. They've got this calendar that's called Big Brain's 2006 calendar. I'm just kidding. But the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign came out with a 2006 calendar. It was a pretty unique idea. It's people that go to the school or professors and stuff, or Nobel Prize winners from the school, all the big brains that go to the University of Illinois. I'm glad to see that instead of having the cheerleader squad or whatever it may be, that the college is actually showing off some of their graduate students and some people that have had great success. It just goes, you know, that's pretty, pretty cool, okay? So, it's a very unique calendar. I'm disappointed. Obviously, I didn't go to their campus, but I'm just disappointed they didn't pick me, okay? Some of these people are really smart on this list, so it's actually an insult for me to say that. Okay, PC World has probably the article of the year. It's called this, and it was what's what they're terming their article of the year, and it's a straight story on PC reliability and service. So if any of you are shopping for components and want to know how stuff stacks up on stuff that you bought or that you're thinking about buying, this is going to be the most inclusive story they run every year on PC reliability and service. So make sure you get over to PC World. The link will be in the show notes. Check that out, okay? Okay, I think it does. This does not come as any surprise to any of you that there was a study done, and it's actually a Wired article out saying that TiVo is causing increase in product placement on the television shows that you're watching. It's just a dramatic increase, an 84% increase in product placement. It's gotten so bad that the Writers Guild and the Actors Guild have basically starting to protest, saying it's, you know, it's getting too much. We're having to rewrite our storyline to fit product placement in here. And I think it's just disgusting. I really do. But please realize that if you think you see a product placement, the TV programming credits are supposed to include who paid for placement in the programming on movies and on TV that you watch with syndicated stuff. So I will tell you here on this show, there will be no product placement on this show without a without me divulging that it's an advertisement or if it's a paid or if it is a product that's been provided to me. There's not going to be any of that. It's going to be straight up front, but just you're getting sold to 24/7 on that Bloob tube, okay? All right, here's looks like the RIAA has finally thrown in a towel on their LoudEye service, where they were paying this company to flood the P2P networks with bogus MP3s, and of course they were very much responsible for making a lot of people mad that were using P2Ps, where they would download a dozen files and probably legitimately illegally, and 11 of those 12 would have just static or a message from the RIAA saying that letting them know how naughty they were for downloading this stuff. But apparently it hasn't been very successful. Everyone's getting in the PC to phone service. Microsoft and MCI are planning to launch a service that was announced today. So we'll keep an eye on that, see what they do. In space news, there is a little bit of a concern. Shuttle engineers are investigating data that indicate that an oxygen leak took place in the engine compartment during the July's launch of the Shuttle Discovery. Obviously, oxygen and a fire is, you know, we've got... You know, in the engine compartment, you know, it's not like we've got a jet engine here. We've got something that has got like this huge billowing flame underneath. You know, those two components don't mix very well. But luckily, nothing disastrous happened. But the levels were such that it could have caused a problem. So quite a dangerous situation that could have, you know, we could have lost another shuttle. But they're going to try to find out where this came from. It's very, very concerning to say the least. Okay, here is, I want to talk about this. This gentleman is, his website is, I'm going to have to spell it out here. It's Loizzo, L-O-I-Z-Z-O .blogspot.com. And I received an email earlier in the week. Basically, one of the listeners of the show had a problem using Firefox over at GoDaddy. And it was in one particular part of their service, and he did not want to use Internet Explorer. He was smart. He didn't want to expose, you know, he didn't want to load Internet Explorer up. And obviously, he's not going to be exposed to bad stuff at GoDaddy, but, you know, just the thought of having to use Internet Explorer and versus Firefox upset him, and rightfully so. So he sent myself and Annie McCaskey at Slash.review an email, knowing that both of us have a relationship with GoDaddy, and he said, hey, can you ask, you know, is there anything you can do about this? So I immediately forwarded the email to not only my advertising rep at GoDaddy, but also a connection I have at the company. And within an hour of me, he had sent me the email, and I immediately forwarded to them saying, hey, you've got a problem. Can you talk to this guy or do whatever you're going to do and see if you can get him a straight answer? And he had received a tech support response back saying, hey, you're going to have to use Internet Explorer. And obviously, that was the incorrect answer. somebody very high up at GoDaddy called him on his cell, basically pulled, I asked him permission to forward that to them, and pulled his information out of their contact file, personally gave him a call, and discussed it with him. They walked through to find out where the error was going to be. So the engineers at GoDaddy were working on this. So, I've done this three or four times for people that listen to the show that have had problems in the past. And I've always said, if you got an issue, send them to me. I can't promise anything, but I'm going to forward them. I'm going to forward all this, good or bad, to the company, because, I want them to know what you guys think. So it was a positive conclusion. Okay, now they may not have the error fixed yet. I don't know if they've got that fixed. I haven't heard back yet, but I know that they're going to get it fixed. But he wrote up a very, and this is why I talk about someone writing up a very humbling comment. I'm going to link to up in the show notes. I do appreciate the kind words. And it's that's this is what this show is about here, is a relationship between myself and those of you that are out there listening, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that relationship is square. And I have a very strong policy on how I interact with my sponsors and everything else. So thank you so much for the comments. Let you guys check it out yourself. Again, if you have any problems, just drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, last couple of articles before we kick into listener comments. We're at 46 minutes here. Yahoo acquired Delicious on Friday, and I like Delicious, but what Yahoo acquired Flickr, and now you have to have a Yahoo login to get into Flickr, and they got ads, and it's not the same as it was before. So now Yahoo's acquired Delicious, and I wrote this comment up like, congratulations to the team. I'm glad they made money on it. But why did they, they just built this thing and they're just getting going and just gotten, and they got VC money. So obviously there was, must have been pressure to roll this thing. But, I would have supported as a user of Delicious if they would have come out and said, and they have a huge, huge, if they figure it's like 400,000 people that use Delicious, if they'd have come to me and said, I want $2, $1 a month or whatever to support the service. I would have, versus it going to Yahoo, because now you don't have, it's not independent anymore. Now, Yahoo is all about doing social stuff, social interaction, and they're on this social bandwagon. So, and I'm sad to see this. Congratulations to the team at Delicious, but at the same aspect, man, another one just bites the dust. Okay, and would hope people would have a little bit of fortitude to try to last a little longer. And build that business model up yourself. And there's got, how come people just want to roll things? I don't understand that. They don't, I understand the pressure that they have with venture capitalists, but VCs, okay, if you're making money, I don't know. I guess it's a world I don't fully understand. But anyway, Yahoo to Delicious, nothing we can do about it. It is done. Okay, as always, on Tuesdays, we have Robin Good's New Media Picks of the Week. This is number 30. He goes through a couple of products. One of them is called Scoop Go, which is a search engine that allows you to search only the feeds of your choice. Socialite. He talks about the Google personalized search engine, which I use. Strategic Board, Artist Server, that video site, the Wimpy Player, which I use on my site, on the podcast portion of the site. Ovation, and a pretty cool thing is called a warning label generator, and how many of you realize that the Merriam-Webster's dictionary is online? Did you know that? Cool. Go check that out. And Aardvark, I guess it's Project Aardvark Movie. So I'm not familiar with that, but you guys can check it out in the show notes. Great links from him all the time. Someone, we have to get him on the show, like, as one of you had asked before, to figure out how he does it, how he finds these great links. Now, I do want to go into some show comments today. For those of you that took time to send us some stuff in, let's see if I can go back a little bit. Today is what day? We're looking at the 13th. Let's go back 4 days. Okay, I got an email from Rebecca, and she talks about a bot that is had caused her some hate and discontent with her web hosting company. There's a bot out there that's called the it comes from omni-explorer.com. And what this thing is doing, it's going through WordPress blogs and causing excessive PHP server load. And she actually got shut down on her server for a while. she had to put in a, actually her web hosting provider had to put a block in to the site because the bot didn't respect the HT access entries or the robot's text file. So, you know, her company had to go after them and block the IP on those servers. So if any of you are running into lag or any problems with your WordPress install, check your logs and see if you're getting slammed by this company and take it to your web hosting provider and get them blocked. I want to thank Matt for the links to the articles on the gaming story. And I don't cover a lot of gaming stuff on the show, Matt, so I do appreciate those. And I thank you for the submission, so I'm sorry I couldn't use them. I did want to talk to Eric. Eric sent me a message saying, hey, this is Eric from the Glitchcast and GlitchClassNewYorkCity.com. He said he started doing a weekly quiz show for use on podcasts, posting on Geek Trivia, and he wanted to let me know that I'm free to download and use on the show as part of the Geek News Central podcast. So if I'm sure this is available to anyone out there that's doing a podcast. I did not get a chance to download it. Eric will get a chance. I'll check that out and pull down one, and maybe we'll play it on the show at some point. But it's at geekquiz.glitchnyc.com. Put the link up in the show notes so you guys can check that out. Okay, I got a great email from Jeff. And this one, you guys may be, for those of you that are Sony PSP users, you may be familiar with this already, but the PSP firmware version 2.6 that was released has a RSS reader of sorts, which allows you to listen to podcasts, but only while you're online. He says the same good old audio playback interface for use for listening to music and other stored audio on the PSP comes up when you listen to a podcast in RSS channel. He says, the Windows Media Audio Codec, on the other hand, it's nice to have on the PSP, except for one thing. You have to enable it before use, and you have to have a network connection in order to do so. This could probably be for activating some DRM innards in the codec. Who knows, but he said he'd love to see Sony make the MP4 codec available for audio-only purposes, since it's basically a souped-up version of AAC. So thanks for the update on the Sony PSP firmware update, Jeff. Keep it coming, okay? Jason let me know about the some multiple listing in iTunes of the site. So again, we talked about that earlier. Thanks for that heads up, Jason. Also, David responded to my article on Delicious to Yahoo, and he says, great for folks at Delicious, but it's good. But is this good for the greater net? I keep seeing great social networks getting picked off by major companies. I'm beginning to wonder if the machine that we have created as a community, though, needs to route around the man, is just being bought up by the man. So he brings up a good point here, and I didn't read that clearly. He says, I am beginning to wonder if the machine that we have created as a community through need to route around the man is just being bought up by the man. Well, you couldn't say that. That's perfect, Dave. David, that is perfect comment here. As he says, personally, I'd be willing to support Delicious with a yearly contribution had they been able to keep the site independent. I am subscribed to a great number of people's lists, but what exactly is Yahoo going to do with that info when they tie users to the Yahoo usernames? Yeah, good one. That's the same thing I'm thinking there, my friend. So we'll see. See what happens there. If they, you know, if they blow it, we'll go off and we'll invent our own, all right? someone responded to a posting I put on my weblog on fonts. He says, hey, here's another useful site, defont.com. Check that out. Along with that, got some feedback on the intro. Appreciate that. We'll play around with that for a while, see how it goes. And my good friend Angelo, who's the developer over at Raw Voice, he sent me a link to a newsletter that I am not signed up to. It's over at www.ustaccert.gov. It's a weekly update of bugs and stuff that are out on for Linux bot. You know, basically anything that's out there, it's bad, it's infiltrating servers. Okay, our final email feedback for the night comes from Paul. He says, hi, my name is Paul. I just finished creating my first podcast with RSS syndication. It was a long haul figuring that out. Your book and some help from another podcast are only reasons I made it to work, so I wanted to say thank you. I credited you on the podcast blog, also with a link to your podcast. Thanks for that, Paul. That comment is much appreciated. It's a primitive Blogger Fair present, but at least it runs. Feel free to check it out, and you guys can check his show out at www.sandiegoindieshowcase.com. Put the link up in the show notes. Paul, send me a promo, and anyone that's out there, it's a podcaster, send me a promo to geeknewspromo@gmail.com. Now, some of you stuck around for the end of the show last time, and some of you didn't. And those of you that didn't, well, you didn't find out how to get a chance to win $127 on our show just before Christmas. And I actually got a comment back from one of our international listeners, and here's a skinny, okay? Call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 and just submit something for the show, okay? Submit a comment, something that you, a rant, whatever. Make it cool. Make it exciting. Make it different. And I'll go through those and I'll pick a winner. Now, for our international listeners, you can send me an audio comment if you want. You can do it via Skype, or you can Skype me, Geek News Central. And sometimes I'm not online, so you can leave a voicemail, or just send me an audio recording. Do use whatever software you have. Doesn't matter. Doesn't have to be fancy. And you can send that to geeknews@gmail.com. Now, don't send me a 100 meg attachment, please. Keep it reasonable. I'm not going to grade you for quality of recording purposes. Okay, that's not going to be the case. But for a chance at $127 the day before, actually the 22nd, I believe, or 23rd is when that show is going to air, we're going to award that right over the show, and we're going to send a PayPal immediately to the winner. So make sure you send me your PayPal address somewhere in the audio comment. Now, I will cut that out of the show, okay? So you won't get your email plastered all over the airways, but we're going to have some fun with that. Hey, as always, it's been fun. We're at 56 minutes. Well, let's just call this an hour show from now on. Anyway, thank you so much for staying subscribed and being with me here today. And I hope everyone's having a joyful holiday time. And as you guys go out shopping and buy cool stuff, I want to hear about the gadgets you're buying, okay? I really do. I want to hear the cool stuff you scored for Christmas presents and stuff that you handed out and were giving away. So I think that's it. And as always, you can call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. And as always, email night or day to geeknews@gmail.com. Thank you so very much for being part of our family here. And we will see you on Friday, all right? And we'll leave you with that. Thanks so much, folks. Okay, we'll see you on Friday.
From Honolulu, Hawaii, this has been Geek News Central with Todd Cochran.
Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
Subscribe to the Geek News Central podcast at geeknewscentral.com. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening. Aloha.
Aloha.